On September 16th, a diverse coalition of business and industry leaders from across the state formally launched the Capital Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions, CBCIS, as more than 45 Capital business and industry leaders announced that new coalition calling for immediate federal immigration solutions. Now, joining the Capital Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio this time is Brock Herzberg, Capital Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions Director. Brock, welcome inside the barn. And you've got a storied history in agriculture and Colorado. So if you would, first of all, tell me more about your background and what led you to your current position at the Capital Business Coalition for Immigration.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you giving me some time this morning to talk about this issue. It's a pressing issue for not just Colorado, but for the country. But yes, to give you just a little bit of background on me, I am a native of Colorado. I was born in eastern Colorado in Washington County. My family, I was the fifth generation born on a dryland wheat farm. I grew up closer to the Kansas border and the Nebraska border in eastern Colorado than I did from Denver. We were about 105 miles from Denver and about 85 miles from the Kansas border and just around 100 miles to the Nebraska border. So, like I said, grew up on a dryland wheat farm, was the first generation raised, or fifth generation born on that farm. It is still in my family. My parents still, although they've scaled back a little, are still running that farm just south of Akron. I went to a small school in the middle of a pasture, Arickaree Indians, go Arickaree, and eventually had a passion most of my life for policy, I would say, not so much politics, which is what I grew into, but policy of agriculture, watching folks in eastern Colorado who didn't really feel like they had much of a voice. That sparked my interest. I worked on Washington County county commissioner races, and there's only so much you can do in Washington County. Akron is a very walkable town, but you get out too far outside of Akron and you're not knocking doors by walking. You're driving 15, 20 miles at a time to talk to folks. Worked on, did stuff like that. And really kind of got involved in our family farm and how it operated for us, the changing dynamics of agriculture. I can remember 25 years ago, my dad working with Colorado State University when this new concept came out about no-till. And dad worked with the university to help try and set us up so we were conserving more of the water that fell from the sky. And we were trying to treat the land a little bit better. So from there, I took that passion for agriculture and for policy, again, the policy part of it, and I attended Colorado State University, where I majored in, I actually majored in two things, political science, obviously that was the policy part of it, but what I really focused on was the communication side of agriculture, policy. My passion obviously is in agriculture, and that's where I kind of focus my undergraduate work. Did 4 years at CSU, had the good fortune with some people who helped me on the Eastern Plains get in touch with Senator Wayne Allard, who was a longtime senator out of the Loveland-Longmont area, a Republican out of Colorado when Washington, D.C. was a much different place than it is now. I had the good fortune of going back to Washington. Senator Allard had a program that I applied to and was accepted, went out there and worked on all things that, and you know, being a statewide U.S. senator, you don't just focus on one thing, even though Senator Allard, a veterinarian, was very passionate about agriculture, very passionate about our veterans. I kind of worked a whole range of issues for the senator out there, helped follow them, helped communicate back to constituents in Colorado, all over the state, from the Front Range population centers to the Western Slope and the Eastern Plains. So I did that for a while, decided to come back home where I wanted to further my education. Again, went back into the CSU system, the Colorado State University system, where I was fortunate enough again to be able to teach at the university at a graduate level And I taught speech communications to incoming freshmen, which anybody who remembers their freshman year of college hates that dreaded speech 101 class. I don't know if they still call it that, but that's where you learn about speeches, rhetoric, ethos, pathos, logos, all of that fun stuff. So I worked for the university while getting my master's for a couple years. And I always knew that I wanted to, I had talked to my parents. I didn't really think that I was the one to go back to the farm, but I thought that I could still do good things for our farm and for the industry. And that's what drove me to applying at the Colorado Farm Bureau. I was lucky enough to get hired there, where I was doing some of their regulatory work. And helping out some folks who are still in Colorado politics now. Garen Borthman and I worked on that at that organization together. Landon Gates, who ended up being my business partner, was at Colorado Farm Bureau, really gave me a flair for the different aspects of agriculture. I grew up as a wheat farmer. I didn't really have any exposure other than to wheat, corn, and millet. I was somewhat naive on the livestock side, had an opportunity to go back to the East Coast, work out there for Virginia Farm Bureau, did that for a while, loved that. They do agriculture so differently on the East Coast because there's not as much land to utilize as there is out here in the West. And then eventually, I was fortunate enough to be hired to come back and work for Colorado Dairy Farmers. That is an organization for our more than 100 dairy farm families here in Colorado. We are a subsidiary of Dairy Farmers of America, where I help on their political, their regulatory, anything that they need help. I've been plugged into them. And I've been working with them now for over 12 years. I still work for them. I referenced Landon Gates earlier, who used to be at Colorado Farm Bureau. Him and I decided to start our own consulting firm. We did that about 11 years ago now, I think, Brian. And we've been trying to go strong ever since. And we have the good fortune of representing some of those in the agriculture community, some of the business community, the water community. And you and I will get to this here in a little bit, but that's what led me to this Coalition on Immigration Reform. It's a topic that growing up, I was very naive on. And I think with my work through Colorado Farm Bureau, Virginia Farm Bureau, and now Colorado Dairy Farmers, they really educated me to the need and the necessity of all of that. And even, you know, some of my work that I do that's not involved necessarily directly with policy and politics. I've served on a few boards before. I worked for a Denver advocacy group here who really, I mean, a lot of who we saw coming through those doors were underserved communities that really tied into this immigration discussion. So it's kind of been a natural progression for me. It's just taken me about 15 or 16 years to get to a point where I'm actually helping coordinate a group and an entity solely focused on talking to our elected officials about the need for comprehensive immigration reform. So once again, thank you for having me.
Well, you've got quite the background, and I'm sure in all your travels, you had a chance to visit with and probably get interviewed by the legendary Hall of Fame broadcaster, Evan Slack. And so sad news over the weekend about his passing on September 19th. Your reaction to that this morning, Brock?
Same, Brian. It's a loss, and it's something I was trying to think earlier. I think Evan has been involved in this so long that some people will probably struggle to remember how long his career spanned and who he was to the agriculture industry. I don't think will ever be forgotten, nor will it ever be replaced at the way that he filled that space. So my heart and my thoughts and my prayers go out to his family as well.
You bet. Likewise, thoughts and prayers to the family of and friends and fellow broadcasters of Evan Slack. Yep. You can check out some more information from USDA Radio, in fact, this morning about Evan Slack, and also go back in time and back, I think, 2006 and see his Hall of Fame induction you know, the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, links to all that's online inside the barn. Now, of course, you've got extensive knowledge of political issues and successfully lobbied at the local, state, and national levels. So what is the Conroe Business Coalition for Immigration all about, Brock, and what's the organization's main mission?
Sure. So our group, the Colorado Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions, it's a mouthful, and even our moniker of CBCIS, once you say it a couple of times, it kind of rolls off your tongue a little bit easier than when you first try it. Back in 2012, Brian, this is where really where this idea and this concept was born out of. Senator Bennett, who has been a champion for some type of immigration reform, even before Michael Bennett became Senator Bennett. He was an advocate for reform, for changes within our system. I can remember Senator Allard 20 years ago, issues of this coming up, and that there was just no movement within the Beltway in Washington, D.C. on this issue. So back in 2012, the Senate felt that there was kind of a sweet spot of time to try and get something done. And if you remember, that was when all quote unquote the Gang of Eight came together. Senator Bennett was a part of that. John Thune, John McCain. It was a Democrat-Republican group of senators that said, we are hearing, and from all over the country, wasn't just a Western thing or an Eastern seaboard. These were senators that spanned coast to coast that came together and said, we are hearing and have been hearing a need for reform of our antiquated immigration system. So in 2012, a group of business leaders got together. Senator Bennett really helped coordinate all of us. And through that, at that time, Brian, I was working for Colorado Dairy Farmers. We had been reached out to join this group of business leaders from people who were not just in the agriculture industry, but in the aerospace industry, in the hotel and lodging industry, in the bars and taverns industry. So anybody who had an economic input into the state of Colorado, Senator Bennett really tried to get this done. Brought a group together. We actually passed a bill and formed what was then called the Colorado Compact, which those are still our guiding principles here in Colorado today, about some guidelines that the federal government could look at. Here are some things that we want you to focus on. The federal responsibility of this issue. National security is a big thing. Our economy is an underpinning factor here. Families, that is an issue that I don't think we spend quite a bit enough time on, but they came up with a set of principles. We traveled all around the state talking to anybody that we could find, doing press events, doing roundtables. Even at that time, the unions were involved with us. The Senate passed something, and much like the dichotomy we're in now, the Senate passed something, the House never took it up. Now we're in a situation, the House has passed something in DC and the Senate has not. But so in 2012, that's really what started all of this. Fast forward to now, this group has been loosely staying together, and our partnership, as you said, Brian, is 45 strong, and we hope to continue to grow to say, you know, this issue is not going away. We need help on it. This is, again, a major factor in our business decisions, how we grow as a business. So that's how we got back to just last Wednesday launching the Colorado Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions. But this is, again, it's not something new. It's just we're trying to be a little bit more targeted, a little bit more nuanced. And again, as everybody listening to your radio show or this show, nobody needs to remind them. It's a tough scenario right now with COVID, the pandemic, we're in an elections cycle, but still the business leaders in Colorado still thought we need to have this conversation again and keep it moving and keep this top of mind. So that's how we came back to fruition here in Colorado.
My guest once again is Brock Kurzberg, Colorado Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions Director. Now, a lot of listeners may be asking, what does this organization have to do with agriculture? You can explain some of it there, but the coalition represents more than 45 diverse organizations across Colorado's industries and regions, including several from agriculture, like Colorado Corn, Colorado Dairy Farmers, the Colorado Farm Bureau, the Colorado Livestock Association, the Colorado Wool Growers Association, the National Onion Association, the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, Action 22, Club 20, and Pro 15, and many others. Now, speaking of the Colorado Dairy Farmers, they're on the coalition. They have a statement from Chris Kraft on that press release. He's the chair of the board of the Colorado Dairy Farmers. And he said, Colorado farmers are suffering from a crippling labor crisis and has been getting worse for years. We simply don't have the skilled workers we need to sustain a healthy, robust agriculture industry in the state for the long term. In order for the dairy industry to continue supplying the country and the world with nutritional products, Congress must act. The future of our industry depends on it. You can read more about the coalition and see a full list of its members online. Now, as I mentioned, Brock is my guest. The press release I received was sent out by the New American Economy. Yeah. How is that organization tied to yours, and what's their background and mission?
Sure, and I appreciate that, and thank you for listing off those agriculture organizations. And I'll just say, Brian, it is something to be said that when you get diverse sectors, not just within the ag community, but the entire economy coming together, because we don't all agree on everything. I think it does speak volumes that organizations that may be on different sides of the political spectrum may have different ideas of how their particular commodity group can be handled. It says something that they come together and are willing to have this conversation. And I greatly appreciate all of them and all of the non-ag entities as well. But Brian, you're correct. The New American Economy is partnering with us, and they are really some of the ones who have helped us focus. And what they are great on, they are a bipartisan organization. Their sweet spot, Brian, and I would encourage anybody who has any questions or thoughts or needs research to visit their website. They have some phenomenal data that, again, it is not slanted towards, well, this will help one sort of candidate or this will help one group of people. They are really saying, here is the economic impact to our country. And then they have this tool, and it's right there on their website, that it's called Map the Impact. You can click on that and look at it by congressional districts in Colorado. You can look at some of their amazing stats that they have up there, such as we have just under 600,000 immigrant population here in Colorado. They break it down to, 7% of them are helping as nurses in the healthcare industry. The construction industry has good numbers. The agriculture industry, technology. So what they really do is they can help a group to say, okay, we want reform, and we want to advocate to our elected officials. And it could be your county commissioner, it could be that your mayor, your state legislator, and hopefully your congressional leaders, to say, listen, we don't need you to have a staffer dedicated to this. We can show you here, based on the numbers that are easily found, here is what this population, this issue means to my county or to my district on the Eastern Plains or in Northwest Colorado, where the ski areas are at. They're an industry that is very, very impacted by this. So the New American Economy really helps that data they bore it out, and then they put it in a way, by demographic, by industry cluster or sector, if you will, and they kind of put it out there and say, let us help you use that information. And that is part of what is great about our coalition here in Colorado. As I mentioned before, not all of us agree exactly on what reform should look like. We're all going to have a little bit differing opinions, but what we can agree on and what the New American Economy or NAE helps us guide there is a real problem here. It's an issue to our state. It's an issue to our small towns and communities. It's an issue to our large population bases. They can really help form that argument with research and data and science to where we can at least start from a foundational principle of take the politics out of it and let's just look at the very, very premise of how is immigration impacting Colorado and how is a lack of reform impacting us. NAE, like I said, through their Map the Impact tool on their website, a wealth of information. And it's I just can't say enough about the value of having that type of information at somebody's fingertips or at the tips of their keyboard, however you want to look at it. It just really helps us inform, especially to people who may not see the necessity or urgency of it. We can just put that out to them and say, okay, here's what it is to Colorado. This helps make our case for us. So that's they're a very valuable partner for us.
Yeah, I was mind-blowing when I took a look at the New American Economy's Map the Impact, which in 2018, here's some numbers for folks out there. They paid a total, immigrants paid a total of $1.5 billion in state and local taxes and also held $14.2 billion in spending power. That is an amazing statistic right there. My guest, once again, as I mentioned, is Brock Herzberg, Colorado Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions Director. So what's next for your organization?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And you know, Brian, I will say this, after I have been working on this issue, well, I started at Colorado Farm Bureau probably in 2002, started at Virginia Farm Bureau in 2004, started at Colorado Dairy Farmers in 2008. Since then, so since 2002, I have been talking about this issue. Coming up on 20 years of talking about this issue. So your question, I think, really is a great one, because when CBCIS, when we started forming again, getting ready to launch last week, a lot of folks did say, okay, great. We know there's a problem. We need a solution. What are you all going to do about it? And I think that is something that I pressed back on our steering committee and our coalition partners to say, how do we want to drive this for Colorado, for the business community? How do we want to set this up? And I think what we're doing, or what we want to see, is there needs to be pressure continued to be kept on our congressional delegation. I know that there are so many other things happening right now. COVID cannot be ignored, nor can the election cycle that we are just getting into, well, not just getting into, that we have all been seeing, and then the unfortunate passing of a Supreme Court justice. This all, the noise and rhetoric around us, Brian, is loud, and it's on a lot of things that are not this. What we want to do is create an environment and a space for the business community to logically, professionally, and safely come together and make a case and an argument backed by that data, again, from New American Economy, of why we cannot ignore this. And I think it's going to take some education, not just of our coalition partners, but also of those folks who may be watching everything else and saying, I don't have time to wonder about immigration reform. We want to be the ones to go into communities. And we partner with folks like the Colorado Business Roundtable. Megan Pfeiffer over there is doing amazing work to get this message out there, to get this out there that you may not see it or hear it every day right in front of your face, but you do see it every day in a hospital that maybe has been treating COVID patients, or just a nursing home that has been working throughout all of this, a dairy farm, a corn farm, a restaurant. It is there in front of us all the time. What we do not want to happen is for this to drop off, because there is fear out there, Brian, if we don't engage now and engage heavily, we could be looking, and I do not want this to happen, you could be looking at another decade before Congress thinks, well, maybe now we're ready to address it. So really getting that message out there, we want to help in any way we can. How do you talk to your local elected officials? How do you talk to your state officials? And then how does that trickle up to our congressional delegation? Because I truly am a believer in all politics is local, and what happens locally eventually will impact a vote 2,500 miles away in Washington, D.C. That is what we need to be doing, and that is really what we're going to focus on, partnering with others, talking to our coalition partners, figuring out ways to engage in roundtables, annual meetings, congressional debates, which are running hot and heavy now, really getting this message out there that we are here, we're listening, and there is a sense in this state, in our four borders of this state, that we need to have action on this issue. And that's really what our focus is going to be moving forward from our launch last Wednesday to as long as people will have us around. That's what we're going to focus on.
And in this climate, it's going to be tough because it's hard to have a discussion on both sides of the issue anymore without being civil. Yep. Civil's been thrown out the window, it seems right now.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned there were several ag organizations that have already signed on to join your guys' work and the coalition's work. Are there, if there's other businesses out there or even other ag organizations that I didn't mention that want to join the Commodore Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions or have other questions, what's the best way to reach out to you and to find them?
Yep, great question. There is always 24 hours a day, as I think we are all very, very familiar with now. The internet never shuts down. So www.cocompact.org. There is, that is all about our coalition, the guiding principles of the Colorado Compact. And then there is a button on each tab that highlights join. That can do it. You can reach out to me, Brian. My email is out there, but I am happy to give it at Brock, B-R-O-C-K, at capitalfocusllc.com. And that is C-A-P-I-T-O-L. focusllc.com. And I'm not going to lie, I am one of those folks that my phone is never that far from me. So 303-945-1076. But again, the website is great. And any outreach to me is much appreciated. And I really appreciate you highlighting this issue and the Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions, Brian.
Does it cost anything to be to join as a member?
That is a great question, and the answer is no. And that is part of our great partnership with the New American Economy. We don't have to ask our members, can we have a $500 sponsorship because of this amazing research that we're getting. They are a nonprofit as well. So it is free to join. And again, the one thing I will stress is do not join us because you think you may have a different opinion or idea of what reform should look like. We need all ideas, all stakeholders at the table.
Well, as a current drylander myself, I love the word free because it has been 2020 has not been a fun year for the wheat industry, for the millet industry. Grain millet, some of the people out this way didn't even swath any of it.
Yep.
For grain millet because the swather wouldn't even put it in the windrow.
Yep.
This has just been a tough, a brutal year. But
yep.
Are there any other issues or upcoming events planned or final thoughts about the Cobra Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions that you want folks to know about before we let you go?
Nope. Other than that, Brian, we will stay in touch with you because you are a great venue and conduit to get information out. You're a trusted source. We'll stay with you. Again, the website is the best way. And you'll be seeing us. We're hoping to partner, Brian. You mentioned some of our friends at Action 22, Pro 15. Hopefully we'll be able to partner with them to get more information out. And like I said, I do not want anybody to not join us because you think we may be on a different page. the page is reform, the page is movement, and we're going to start from there and build upward from there. So I really appreciate you giving us time in this platform.
Well, hats off to the entire coalition. Sounds like a great novel approach to a situation that's, you know, been a struggle for the United States for many, many decades. Yes. Those comments once again from Brock Herzberg, Colorado Business Coalition for Immigration Solutions Director. Once again, you can learn more about the CBCIS by visiting cocompact.org, and you can learn more about the New American Economy by visiting their website at newamericaneconomy.org. Thanks again, Brock. Appreciate it very much. Look forward to our next visit right here inside the barn.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it.